Hello, I'm Russell Rowland, author of 56 Counties, A Montana Journey. Welcome to 56 Counties. Melissa Lone Bear is an elected member of the Northern Cheyenne Tribal Council, who is currently locked out of her office, along with seven other members of the Tribal Council. John Robinson was the chief judge for the Northern Cheyenne Tribe for decades until his recent retirement. John was also present at the occupation of Alcatraz, as well as the events at Wounded Knee in 1973. The following is a summary of recent events within the tribe, and I welcome a follow-up conversation with Tribal President Gene Small. So I know this is a really complicated issue you guys are dealing with, so I wondered if one of you could start by just explaining the basic structure of the tribal politics so we have a framework that we can go from.
Okay, I'll go ahead and explain. In November of 2024, a new president was elected to the tribal council. Our tribal council has 11 members and a president. The vice president is also serves as a tribal council person, and then there's two appointees, which is our secretary and our treasurer, and they serve at the pleasure of the council. So our terms are staggered, and I'm in my third year of my term. Mm-hmm. There was four new council and a president and vice president elected in November of 2024.
Okay. And has this been the framework for the tribe forever, or was it different at some point?
Our first constitution was signed in 1935. Mm. Prior to that, there was a council of 44 chiefs. The most recent revision to our constitution after, I believe it was revised in the 60s again in between, and then our current constitution was passed in 1996.
Okay. John, when were you elected as tribal president?
I've been actually serving since back in the 80s, and so I was under the second constitution. Uh-huh. And then they did the big difference in the constitutions is the constitution approved in 1996 went into effect in 2000, and it contained separation of powers. Separation of powers was a different concept from our tribe. We had never experienced before where the judicial branch was separate from the executive branch, which was separate from the legislative branch, and there were lines that just couldn't be crossed. I was fortunate. I got elected to the first term in 2000 and pretty much stayed there until I retired a few years back. But it's been a lot of growing pains. It's difficult to get used to when you've never had that.
Yeah. So you're talking about when you were a judge, right?
Yeah, I was chief judge for many years.
But you were elected president or chairman at one point too. What year was that?
I took a break from the judicial branch, and then I think 2012 I ran for president. I was elected. And I discovered politics is not my forte. So I returned back to the judicial branch. Humbled.
Yeah, I remember the story of how that worked out. It wasn't pleasant. So, Melissa, you want to explain what's been happening recently?
So what's happening here is the tribal council in July received a complaint on our tribal court system.
Okay.
So after we received the complaint, We were trying to get both parties at the table. And in our attempt to do that, we were trying to have special counsel meetings, and we were trying to schedule a evidentiary hearing just to hear both sides. As a result of the court situation, there was a mandatory meeting that the president called with all the court staff. And there was an employee that refused to go and was terminated because of it, because of her not attending. Her concern was the separation of powers issue.
Okay.
When we decided to have the hearing, the case wasn't completely presented to us, and it wasn't regarding the termination of the employee, which the president put that perception out there that we were overstepping our own boundaries by dealing with personnel issues. And that wasn't the case. Our concern was the boundaries that are set by the separation of powers. He violated that by calling a mandatory meeting with the staff.
And you're talking about Gary Small, right?
Gene Small.
Gene Small, see, okay.
Yeah.
Sorry. So it wasn't his place to address this issue. Who it should have been, like the tribal council, or who?
To address the court issue, it wasn't his place to call a mandatory meeting.
Right. So what happened after that? It's gotten way more complicated, right?
Yeah, it's way more complicated now. Our complaint that we filed, it was filed on September 5th, I believe. He didn't attend the hearing. He's ignored all of our attempts to meet on the issue. And now, let's back up a little bit. So this happened in July 1st, I believe it was presented to one of our council members. We scheduled a special council meeting. We were trying to take care of it that week, and that was the week of our celebration, so it kind of fell to the wayside. During this process, the president has misinformed our membership, and he has spun this to make it look like we were targeting him because of the forensic audit that is currently happening.
So what's the forensic audit?
He requested a forensic audit, and when we met on the issue, we questioned him to ask what he was looking for, because our tribal audits are caught up. We've always been in good standing, and I expressed my concern about the cost of a forensic audit. Like I said, he put the perception out there that we are retaliating against him because of the forensic audit. Normally, our procurement process is, unless it's a sole source contract, unless it's a specialty, there needs to be an RFP out, request for proposals for any of our contracts. When they passed the resolution for the forensic audit, there was three items on the resolution. Since then, when we finally got a copy of the contract, I think there was like six or seven items on the contract. So that alone is a violation. We've been informed that the firm that was contracted to do this, and like I said, it is taking place. We have never taken action to stop the audit.
Could I step here for a second?
Absolutely.
Pardon me, Melissa. I just wanted to add something. From the perspective of the community, during the COVID crisis, the tribe was awarded a certain amount of money to help us through. And it was quite a bit of money. I am not sure how much. I've seen figures 64 million. I've heard claims of 94 million. I couldn't tell you because it's way too much for me to figure out. But what happened is the people began stating that they wanted that COVID money audited because they felt it was misspent.
Okay.
So when they took that to the council, because, of course, you got to have a resolution to perform the audit, there was some discussion, and some were for the audit, and some questioned, where's the money going to come from to perform the audit, because they're really expensive. And so what the people that voted not to have the audit until they looked into it, they wanted more details and what were they looking for and all that. They were labeled as embezzlers by Gene. And he fed that to the people, and that became a public outcry. Bless their hearts, they believed him. And he ran with it. So all of our council, from that point on, it became World War III over there. And that has resulted in what Melissa is going to describe, the takeover by followers or believers, I guess, of Gene Small. Melissa, you want to add to that?
Okay, he put the perception out that there was theft, and that the entire COVID money that was sent here was embezzled.
Uh-huh.
Most of the money was spent, actually, when I started my term. And as a group, as a tribal council, we decided that what was left would be used for some type of economic development.
Okay.
And that was the direction we were going in.
So the audit is going, right?
Yes, the audit is going. All of our reports were sent to Treasury on time, as scheduled, and there was no questions on what was already sent to the clearinghouse. Our audits have been basically clean with minor, I don't know what you call them. They're not corrective action, but just things that needed to be improved, like our background checks and things like that.
Some small things.
Yes.
So somewhere along the line, there were some council members that were like locked out, right? Isn't that where it stands?
Yeah, we're still locked out.
How many?
There's 8 of us and the secretary and treasurer. So what happened in the past 3 weeks, the first week he gave 3 days of administrative leave to the entire tribal organization.
Okay.
The second week, he gave another 2.5 days of administrative leave. And that's a concern for us because the total amount, I was given the amount per day, and it's approximately $65,000 per day. So I'm sure we're over $500,000 by now with just the leave that he gave.
Just paying for leave?
Just paying for, admin leave. He gave the entire tribe time off.
Right.
So he started calling employees back a few at a time. The building employees, where the Capitol building is, there's still some employees. I think they may have all been called back by now, but there's still some employees that aren't comfortable being there. They were off. They're escorted in the building. They have to sign an NDA.
Whoa.
A confidentiality agreement when they get there. And they're given a speech. And then they go to their workstations. While they're in there, they're being watched by his security.
So how many? So there's only like 3 or 4 council members left that are part of his little team.
There's 2, and there is the vice president.
Okay. So John, can you explain what would he be trying to accomplish here?
He's publicly stating that he is not going to abide by the tribal constitution. He don't like it. So he went to a group who call themselves traditional leaders, and I don't question that. I don't question that at all. They carry that. They have that entitlement. There are chiefs, he called it, and traditional headsmen from societies. And he asked them for assistance to replace the government. And it's based upon what Melissa brought up back in 35 when we accepted the first constitution. The chief stepped back and allowed new tribal council to operate. This is the step they took. At the first, the seed was planted that money was embezzled. Then he was stating, okay, the council was holding up the audit, which the council had approved it back in March, and it was laying on his desk, but he didn't authorize it until much later. And even after he authorized, started the audit and hired the firm, he was still telling people the council had disapproved. So to me, it was to make these council people look bad, mm-hmm. and really demean them. You would not have believed some of the community comments. They were vile about these people. There were personal attacks. There were physical threats. There was just one thing after another. And so it was really getting violent. And of course, my fears, I recall Wounded Knee very clearly. Remember the deaths and the violence that it took years. And it's in some regards, it still hasn't healed. And I did not want to see something like that going on our reservation. So then the movement came to identify these eight good people as dissidents and to move them so that they could install a tribal government under the chiefs rather than the people's vote. Under this that they have so far, they talk about a vote, but so far I have seen where this tribal council has been seated, but I don't know by who or not sure who recognizes them.
So Melissa, you guys were elected, right?
Yes.
What's going on in the community? Are people outraged about what's happening, or are there just too many people that are buying into his narrative?
A little of both. So our membership, I believe, is up to 15,000 people.
Oh, wow.
And we represent everyone.
Yeah.
And there's a handful of people. They've been at this. I worked within tribal government on and off since 2000, so 20 plus years. And the same group has been trying to create this division for some time, and they have succeeded with Gene Small.
So now if he succeeds in creating this separate leadership group, what does that mean?
What it can mean for us, so the majority of our funding comes from the government. And the government recognizes our constitution as the means to govern our people. So there's so many things. We're at the end of our fiscal year right now, and there's no process set up for anyone but the tribal council to pass the budgets and to pass the legislation that's needed for our grants, our contracts, for pretty much everything we have in place to operate.
Right, because the council's not meeting, right?
The council, the eight council that removed Gene Small has been meeting. We have meeting, and yes, and we have been inviting the vice president and the other two that were elected to attend the meetings, and so far they have not attended our meetings.
So do you know how he's going about naming these alternative council members? Is he just handpicking people, or how's that happening? Do you know?
I have no idea how they're doing it.
Okay. It sounds shady. Right?
To say the least.
So, John, if this guy succeeds in completely replacing the council, wouldn't that mean a complete breakdown of the tribal, their relationship to the government?
It would, yes. There are procedures. You know, the chief back in 1934 told the Bureau, BIA, and told the tribal council or the people at that time, they said, okay, you go ahead and take this government and run it. We'll step aside, but we'll take care of the ceremonies, the ceremonial way, and they smoked the pipe on it. But they did say, we're going to watch it in 50 years, and during that time, if we see it's not working, we'll step in and take it back. So that was in mind when this separation of powers was approved. So there was some information in there. It was written into the Constitution, how to amend the Constitution. And that was designed such a way where if the chiefs were stepping in, if we were changing our government or whatever, we go through that process. And that would need to be done for the government to recognize it.
Mm.
They've been really wishy-washy on it, but so far what's happened is they've stood back and said, no, this is an internal thing. We're not going to get involved. However, as Melissa said, these reports and stuff that are going in, those are going to be the excuse for the government, the federal government, to step in and reassume the services administered by the tribe. The Bureau will take that. We're going to go back to 1950 with the government services back then. The sad thing to this whole thing is, number one, the division of the people. There are some that have been discouraged and beat down for years, and they're being offered some hope, but it's not on the horizon. There are a lot of good people who have come in believing that what they say about the embezzlement of funds and that these eight people are responsible. And I'm right up front with it. It's a lie. These eight people are good people from our community who have done a tremendous job. I've watched them as they took control of the government, of the poor politics that was going on, and they got things running again. Our nation was in good shape when they, at the time of the election, all the reports were in. There was no major findings. There was nothing, you know. And now we are just torn down.
So you guys have such a big majority of, as far as the council goes, can you vote to have him removed, or have you done that?
We had a removal hearing on September 11th.
Oh, okay.
Within our constitution, there is a removal clause, and we followed the constitution. We had 8 members present, and 8 members voted yes to remove him.
Okay.
So he is legally removed according to our constitution.
But he hasn't acknowledged that, right?
No.
Are you able to make any decisions, or are you kind of frozen out of being able to do anything?
We're making decisions. This morning we had a special session, and we met on our annual general fund budget. We met on our signatories, just making sure that all of the financial institutions that we work with are notified that Gene is no longer recognized as the president.
Mm.
So we passed budgets this morning. We passed some enrollment for membership. And so in between, we had a situation that happened, and it was on the days, one of the weeks that he gave administrative leave. We have been working every day on this. And we met with the Bureau of Indian Affairs Superintendent, Andy Work, that morning. And then we had a Zoom call scheduled on a different topic with our attorneys. So we went to the tribal office. There was three of us present, and the rest that were able to attend, attended by Zoom. While we were there, there was a group of protesters that ran into the building. We were trying to finish up our meeting. They ran inside. The security that was hired by Gene Small allowed those tribal members in. So they were pounding on the doors. Our attorneys advised us to leave the building for safety. So we did. And they recorded the whole incident.
Right.
From the time we walked down the hall till we left the building. They were making accusations of us hauling boxes out, destroying documents, and their videos clearly showed what we left with.
Well, so what's the next step for you guys? What are you going to do to try to correct what's happening?
We've pretty much been working straight through this with providing documents. We have a constitutional court document that we'll file on Friday, and we'll go from there.
So, John, it seems like if this keeps going the way it is, that it could set a really scary precedent for other tribes, too. Like, other tribes might be susceptible to the same kind of overthrow. Does that concern?
It is to me. That's my perception. Even the Gene and as some of his folks have said, other tribes are waiting in the wings. Other tribes are with us. Other tribes are watching us because they want to do the same thing.
Oh, man.
The problem now is the federal government's whole outlook has changed, and they're no longer attempting to bring us out of the poverty, to improve our health, to improve our education, to help us come up with better land use or economic development. We have a bunch of realtors elected to office who are just waiting for somebody to say, you're not going to be a reservation anymore, and canceling our status. And that is, that's a death sentence to our Northern Cheyenne Nation.
You've been listening to 56 Counties on Yellowstone Public Radio. I'm your host, Russell Rowland, and I've been talking to Melissa Lone Bear, a current member of the Northern Cheyenne Tribal Council who is locked out of her office, and John Robinson, a retired judge with the Northern Cheyenne Tribe. Please join me again on the first Monday of each month for another episode of 56 Counties here on Yellowstone Public Radio. Thank you to everyone who contributed to our most recent fund drive.